£39 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business? Make it happen by joining supplymybusiness.co.uk and start generating more business today for your Kent business.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on Tuesday, the 2nd of August, with me, Paul Andrews, and stonkingly gorgeous Jules Serkin. Welcome back. It's good to see you all. I tell you what, Jules, we're going to talk to our next guest in just a moment, but we'll do a couple of quick emails before we do that, just so that we can get back settled into the
routine. So business events are running a workshop on how to get the best from attending trade shows and exhibitions. So this is really a good one to go to. They say even this modern era of social media and online digi-marketing, B2B exhibitions are still considered to be one of the most effective forms of promoting your business. No other marketing outlet gives you the chance to meet and talk directly to hundreds of potential customers in one place and in one day. To ensure you are best placed to maximise your company's presence at an exhibition, we're holding the free workshop.
What is that?
What?
She said, that.
What have I done?
I just sipped the drink that you made me.
What was it?
God knows. It's got the consistency of Bovril, but it tastes of coffee. But it tastes of coffee with about 8 spoonfuls of coffee powder in it.
Really?
Good grief.
Sorry about that. I might have got distracted. really? I think it was a pink Cadillac going by. It's Jamie's car. We're holding this... We're holding this free workshop designed... Next time, make your own. Designed to make your investment in your time and your money and returns maximum benefits for your business. If you would like to refresh your thinking in just one morning, you will learn everything you need to know to ensure that your exhibition brings outstanding results. Now, I hear you cry, listener. Where is this? So it's September the 13th. It's 70 Churchill Square in East Malling. And it's Tuesday, September the 13th, 9:15 to 12:15. Go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk, business events tab.
Fantastic. Thank you.
How's your Bovril?
It's disgusting, Jules. It's really, really disgusting.
Well, frankly, I just got the coffee out of the thing, maybe.
It's like swamp.
Really?
Or it's Everglades. That is.
Well, I'm going to start
There's an alligator swimming in there.
I'm going to start bringing my gingers in again. My gingers.
Oh, your gingers.
My ginger teas and all that.
Okay.
Listen, there's a network lunch with archery. Oh, I really fancy this, don't you? That's archery, isn't it? Join us for a networking lunch where you could spear your asparagus, couldn't you? You can participate in a free session of archery. I've never done archery, have you, Jamie?
Did it last week, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Such a swat.
Yeah.
Where?
On Sheppey.
With Rolf?
Yeah. Yeah, he was out for the day.
Wednesday the 17th of August, it's at Kent Scouts Activity Centre. I do love a scout. It's 12 to 2 p.m. For members, it's £20 plus VAT. Non-members, £25.
I was going to make a comment there, and I thought, no, just don't go there.
Come along for this popular and unusual networking event where you can enjoy a delicious meal, a meat platter buffet, while chatting
meat
to
who?
Future meat platter. Buffet.
Oh, I see. A meat platter.
M-E-A-T.
Oh, right.
Platter buffet while chatting to future customers. Oh, talking of meat, I need to talk about protein. Congratulations to my lovely Joshua Robson in Ibiza, who's Kent, Ibiza Fitness Food, who has sold the other day 1,000 meals in one day. Startup business.
Josh.
Selling to gym bunnies, you know, people like you with the abs and all that, you guys. Well, the two guests, let's say, not Paul Andrews. but so he's selling, making protein meals for the beautiful people on Ibiza, all the DJs and that, who haven't got time to make their own. And well done, buddy. And he bought a Taywell van.
Oh, did he?
Refrigerator van through me. I haven't had my commission, if Alice is listening.
And how did he get it to Ibiza? Did Jamie ship it?
Jamie shipped it over.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. This show isn't thrown together, mate. It's produced within an inch of its life.
Exactly.
Everything ties in nicely. Yeah.
And Ken Lloyd did all the branding. Ken Lloyd, based in Herne, best graphic designer.
He's fabulous, Ken.
Yeah.
Bless him.
Yeah.
We had a tweet from Caroline and Liz, the Organic Sisters.
Oh, what are they saying?
Riverford_Ken. This week's first sweet corn cobs are in and British... Plums.
I've already read that, but I thought I'd let you read it again because they're so lovely.
Yeah.
Yeah, organic scissors. What's in your box?
Exactly.
In delivering in Kent.
Thank you.
One-day business video production workshop in East Kent. Learn to make marketing videos with your smartphone. Ah, this is the lovely wagon film, isn't it? Who looks like Hugh Grant. What's his name? Wagon Films? Wagon?
Carlton Walls.
Carlton Walls, yes. Such an unusual name that I can't remember it. Learn to make marketing videos with your smartphone. Would recommend to anyone looking to add video to their marketing efforts, says Jason Hulow, who's a speedy consultant. So he gives it 10 out of 10. You learn how to film your products and services, demonstrations, reviews and customer testimonials at a smartphone film school one-day workshop. No experience is needed, just a smartphone. You'll learn about producing, presenting, directing, cameras, lights, sound and more in small friendly groups. You learn tips and tricks to make your videos stand out on social media. It's led by working TV producers and the workshops are packed with tips and techniques used by video production professionals everywhere. Smartphone Film School workshops are for sole traders and businesses of all sizes. So go to smartphonefilmschool.co.uk book. I'm going on one. I couldn't go to this. It was one today. And right. I said I couldn't because I was with you. But I am going to go to one, and he's lovely.
Who, Carlton's fantastic.
Yeah. He filmed really Slope Off Friday for me.
And he filmed Create at Fruitworks last week as well.
He told me that, yeah.
That was great.
He's a nice guy. Mm. But did you know he was a Hugh Grant? He actually earned money as a Hugh Grant lookalike.
Yeah.
Then he
got
a little bit plump. He couldn't do it.
Yeah, well, that's all that standing around with a camera, isn't it? On the shopping channel, which is what he used to do.
Talking of plump, you've been trying these, Jamie, these Kent chicken cracklings.
Yeah, they're lovely. Yep.
Yeah. And you're going to try a chocolate one in a minute, aren't you?
Yep. For goodness sake.
They're quite crackly, aren't
horrible.
They?
Yeah.
No, they're lovely. They're crackly.
No,
but this
they're
is
really nice. Really
are
nice.
They?
Yep.
Yeah.
Chicken crackling.
Yeah.
And then you've got chocolate covered
chicken.
This is a
chocolate one. Shall I give Birdie one to try?
While you're doing that, I'm just going to read this tweet because I want to talk to our next guest.
I do. No, I'm dying to. Do you want a chocolate one?
And we've had a tweet from East Kent College, East Kent College Apprentices, and their Twitter handle is EKC Apprentice, and they say, Vanilla Web, Business Bunker, hello. We have an iPad competition to help raise the profile of apprenticeships. If you'd like to enter the competition, go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/EK Apprentice. That's Facebook, EK Apprentice, or you can follow them on the Twitter at EKC Apprentice. East Kent College, stop crunching.
They are gluten-free as well. And they're very tasty.
Yeah.
So I suppose it's a bit like pork crackling.
I think they're better than that.
They're better for you because chickens are better for you, aren't they?
Than pork.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Maybe.
Obviously. Any enough of that.
Very nice.
I want to speak to our next guest.
I do.
Which is far more interesting than you and your crackling. it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show. I say, stop doing that.
Sorry.
Somebody put your finger on the button while you're crunching.
You can't stop eating once you start.
Yeah. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show for the first time, Mr. James Osborne. James, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you tell the listener a little bit about James and about what you do? And we're also going to talk, because they're going to be able to hear you fairly soon at the East Kent B2B as well in Folkestone in a few weeks' time. But we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's start off talking about you and give us some insights into you and what you do.
Okay, I'll give you the abridged version because it goes on for a while. So my background is I teach scuba diving and sailing.
Wow.
Travel around the world, living on a boat, under the water, in the water and on top of it.
Where?
Well, everywhere really. So we worked in the Caribbean for a while, on the Mexican Cancun Caribbean as well as the British Virgin.
Hard life, huh?
Is this the Paddy?
This is with Paddy, yeah. Did some work in Spain, which was great. Did a little bit of diving instructing in the UK, which was awful because it was freezing cold and you couldn't see anything. Mm-hmm. But ended up falling in love with Australia in particular. So worked on a boat in Australia, which was great. And after about a year doing that, realised it's not a particularly sustainable living that you can keep. So moved down to Sydney and fell into what I currently do, which is around sort of consultancy work. Worked in the Australian market for about 8-9 years. They lived in Australia for 8-9 years, hence the link to the Shiraz.
Whereabouts?
So in Sydney, on the North Shore of Sydney, which I loved. And then about 10 years ago, I decided to come out to the UK and moved down to Bath, down to the West Country near Birdie. Had a great time down in Bath, which was wonderful. Set up a business at the time called Energy, which is my current business. And Energy, in essence, is a business consultancy and training organization. So we work with lots of different organizations, and our remit is very simple. How do we help them outperform the market and have a real significant competitive edge in what they're doing?
Right.
And then about 6-7 years ago, I moved down to Kent. Now I live just outside of Hythe. And we had an office in London last couple of years, right in the smack of the center of London, and decided to move back down to Kent, bring the office down here, bring the staff down here. And we're now here in Kent, fully fledged and having a great time. So.
Fantastic.
Wow, it's like a round the world trip.
Yeah.
Well, it was a bit like a round the world trip.
Did you get into eucalyptus oil for cleaning when you were in Australia?
I'll tell you what I did do. I used a lot of eucalyptus on my barbecues, actually.
On your barbecue?
Yeah, if you get some eucalypt from the leaves and the trees and you put them on a barbie or put them in even on your fireplace, the smell is absolutely stunning. Oh. It's the same sort of idea as having the oil on your...
Yeah, the smell is addictive.
Does it attract koalas?
Yeah, on the barbie, yeah.
Yeah. You know, with koalas going, oh, food, food.
Yeah, kangaroo burgers and koala steaks.
Yeah, great.
But did you use it for cleaning or didn't you get my kind of wild passion for it?
No, I didn't. My wife's a naturopath, though, so she uses lots of those herbal oils and essences and that type of stuff. I think that's one of the things that she uses.
Yeah, well, I need to talk to her.
I'll put you in touch.
Cool. So tell us a bit more about the work that you do in Energy and the kind of things that you're looking at.
Yeah, it's really simple, actually. So we work with lots of different types of companies, large businesses, the SME marketplace. I'm a big fan of the SME marketplace in particular, so anyone between sort of 1 and 100 staff. Mm-hmm. We go into the business, we do a bit of a health check to pull the business apart and see where it's doing really well, see where some of the gaps are. And on the back of that, we provide strategy advice, consultancy advice. I act as a non-exec director on a number of different company boards.
Okay.
And then we do a lot of training. So I often believe that a lot of the strategies in businesses are great, but if they haven't got the people behind them to implement it, then they never really work.
Yep.
So a lot of our training is around the people development, a lot of sales training. I was voted the UK Sales Trainer of the Year a couple of years ago, which is quite flattering. We did a lot of leadership development and a lot around service excellence, like that's the sort of the customer experience and that type of stuff, and how that drives more profitability in the business. So.
Okay. I want to touch on the sales side of it at the moment, if I may, because that's something that causes me personally grief from the point of view that we're really pretty bad in the UK at selling, unlike our North American cousins who seem to adopt the practices of selling somewhat easier than we do in the UK. I've operated for the last few years as a business angel investor, and one of the problems you come screaming up against every time is somebody comes up with an idea, a really good product or service or something, and they get it to the point where they've got to take it out to a customer, and then the whole thing hits a brick wall. Because they really what tends to happen, and not being rude to any of you people out there, but what happens is they come back and they go, oh, we're not quite ready yet. We're going to make it pink first. And then they make it pink. And then in 6 months' time, you go, right, let's go and sell it. And they go, maybe green. And they prevaricate so long because they don't like selling. And I don't understand. I mean, many years ago, I lived and worked in the US. And you can get a degree in sales. Not marketing, sales, yeah. Here, we just never touch the subject. It's just one of those subjects we just, I don't know. I don't know what your experiences of that are.
Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of people, when they come to us about sales training, they expect us to produce some sort of golden sort of holy grail of actually how you can sell, all the tricks and techniques. And it's almost nothing to do with that at all. Mm. It's all to do with attitude and behaviours.
Yeah.
If you look at the greatest salespeople, they've just got the right attitude and the right behaviours. And I think where selling's changed a lot over the years is... the old school sales sort of techniques used to be about, you know, beat someone up 11, 12 times, and then they'll give up to you and they'll buy from you.
That's use their name in every sentence.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think, James?
Yeah, exactly. Go and find their wives and their partners and their husbands, and that type of stuff. Sell to them as well, and when they get home, everyone's going to beat them up. And actually, that's changed a lot now. I think that social media and sort of IT and technology has changed that a lot. So really, sales today is about enabling the buying process, enabling people to be able to buy from you, and then therefore want to buy from you, rather than us trying to push someone into buying. So I think that's a key part of it. The other part as well is I don't think one of the challenges that we have when we talk to a lot of sales organizations is that there's a real lack of pride and confidence in what it is that they actually sell in the first place. They see it as a product that has a cost, and therefore they get pushed down on pricing and that type of stuff. And where a lot of people sort of fall down is they don't look at what the return on investment is for their product, for their customers. So we train a lot of people about how they can demonstrate sale return on investment as opposed to a product or a service for a cost. And when you start doing that, people start becoming quite proud about what it is that they're selling, and they're quite happy to talk about it more, which actually in essence is sales.
Cool. And I mean, I like what you were saying there about how the sales process has changed. One of the things I see as a business owner when people are trying to sell to me is that a lot of people have now adopted social media, and Jamie made reference to his activity on LinkedIn. I get loads of people that request to follow me on LinkedIn. I accept the request, and 30 seconds later, I get some sales pitch. Mm. Yeah, and that in itself, doesn't enamour me greatly. But normally, the quality of the sales pitch is really appalling.
Yeah.
And new technology is there for a reason. And our ability to reach out to people, I don't like that term, but our ability to reach out to people has been enhanced by social media. But surely we need to think more about what we're doing, because it's now not about the numbers, it's about the quality of what you do. Mm. And so many people try to sell me things that if they'd have read my bio, they would know that, you know. And I'll give you a classic example. Somebody did yesterday. I own Jobs in Kent. It's a recruitment portal. And somebody requested to contact me, to connect with me. I connected and they went, "Can we help with your recruitment?" Unlikely. Yeah. You know, you just think, really?
Do your homework.
Yeah, you know, yeah. You didn't even look.
Well, you're right. And there's sort of two, I have a couple of soapboxes that I stand on when I'm going around the sort of the world, I suppose, talking to people about their businesses and how they sell more. And there's two things in particular I think salespeople get wrong. Number one is they haven't earned the right. Yeah. So all the technology, all the data that's out there, you know, we still hear salespeople phoning people up saying, "I know nothing about your business. Can I come and see you and ask some questions about your business?" Yeah. Well, funnily enough, I'm a bit busy today and
nobody's
got time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, you should be contacting me with the information data and tell me something I don't know about my business, and that's going to help me. Mm. So that's number one. And the second thing, and I get really hung up on this, is this area around what I call subservience. You know, that almost like apologizing for being in someone's presence.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's rife across the industry, in any industry for that matter, where you have salespeople who are fronting a brand, who are going into a customer and almost quite apologetic for being in their presence. And as soon as you're apologetic, you're devaluing your product and everything else goes with that. So why is it we're so apologetic for selling what we believe is a great product or service? Yeah. Either the product isn't great, therefore go and fix it. Mm. Or if it is great, then you should be happy to talk to anyone about it. Mm. And changing that mindset and that behavioural attitude thing is a key part of it.
I think you just hit the nail squarely on the head with that. There's so many people working sales that either don't understand their own product or service or don't believe in their own product or service. And that's a lot of the problem, isn't it? Is, you know, they're given a call list, for instance, and they ring up and they go, "Oh, I'm really sorry to bother you, but, yeah, you know," you go, "don't bother me then.
Exactly,
if you're sorry, don't do it." Yeah. From your point of view, and I like what you said about it being attitudinal rather than, you know, techniques. Years and years ago, there used to be loads of techniques, as Jules said, you know, using a person's name or, you know, finding out about their family. But everybody's aware of that anyway. I liked what you said about the attitudinal side of it, and I'd like to explore that a little bit if we may. Mm. So from your point of view, what is the kind of attitude, what is the kind of personal attributes that you'd like to see brought to the sales process?
Yeah, I think where a lot of people need to focus more on the purpose of what they do rather than the profit of what they do. You know,
yeah.
There's been a lot of stuff written in America about the difference between having a purpose motive and a profit motive.
Yeah.
And I think when companies, when individual salespeople or anyone in a business puts the profit motive in front of the purpose motive, it completely devalues what we do. Mm. So really understanding and believing what we do first of all, and then the profit will follow from that. Of course it will.
Yeah.
You know, the big things, I mean, we talk a lot around things around pride for what you do and believing in what you do, passion for your product and the return on investment it produces. A lot of it around the efficiency piece as well, the willingness to be more efficient and clever with what you're doing and how you're selling. And the other part for me really is everything that we do in a sales format. If you look at a classic sales funnel type idea where you've got marketing, social media, driving down through the sales process. Often, again, we think it's about beating people up and selling and pushing. And actually what it is every part of those early stages of engagement with the customer, it's all about adding value to them. Mm. So every touch that we have with our customers, whether they're new or they're existing customers, is about how can we add value to their lives at that particular moment. Mm. And the more value we add to them over a period of time, the more they're going to engage with us. And eventually they potentially might want to buy from us. If they don't want to buy from us, that's absolutely fine. But it's all about adding value. And again, I think a lot of people are spending too much time trying to take from their customers during the sales process. Yeah. But actually what we're trying to do is actually give to our customers, and eventually they're going to want to buy from you. So it's that willingness, that attitude, that actually our job is to keep adding value to people, keep giving to people. And eventually they like us enough and they like our products enough and there's a need, they'll come to us.
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things I used to do with my salespeople when I was working properly and not swanning around doing this, I'd tell them, don't sell. Don't sell anything. You know, if you're going to call someone, don't sell them. Talk to them. Just establish some rapport. Find out something about them. Don't try and sell them something. You know, it's far too early in the process. You don't know anything about them. You don't know why you're doing it. But people get there used to be a thing about it being a numbers racket anyway. That, you know, if you called 100 people, you'd make 2 sales. So if you called 200 people, you know.
The old Pareto principle.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And what I would say to my people is, no, it's a long haul, this. You're building a pipeline. And I don't, even if someone doesn't want to buy from you, you don't be rude to them. You listen to them, because you never know the reason. Just because they don't want to buy from you, it doesn't mean to say they don't know anyone else that might want to buy from you eventually. Mm. But keep trying to oversell everything.
Yeah, but therein lies one of the problems you've got. So you've got a lot of managers in a lot of businesses who the only way they can effectively manage a salesperson is through KPIs and activity. So measuring what you're doing every single day. And that's quite basic and quite flawed, I think. So, you know, really it's about focusing on the conversion ratios and the end game as opposed to the activity to get there. And if the activity is good enough and quality enough, then you get the high conversion ratios. If it's just a numbers game all the time, then, you know, I know. So, I mean, one of the reasons why I left one of my jobs I had in Australia was, and I was a top salesperson there for a number of years, and I got pulled into a sales meeting by this new sales manager who basically pulled me up in front of everyone and said, you're not hitting your sales targets. You're not doing your activity levels. I said, well, no, but I'm outperforming everyone else by twofold. So does it really matter? He goes, well, yes, it does, because according to my spreadsheet, you're not hitting numbers. Yeah, okay, that makes some sense, doesn't it? So funny enough, he's not there anymore, and I left and went and did something else. So, you know, it's just, I think it's changing that mindset slightly about where we're focusing our time and attention on the sort of core activity, or is it actually on the outcomes that we're producing? And that same sort of principle for clients.
I totally agree. And I know someone very well that I think is probably the best salesperson I've ever come across. And she just doesn't sell. Mm. It's just one of those really weird things. She'll pick up the phone to anyone and she'll end up with a sale. And you think, how on earth did you do that? You never mention what you do, how you do it, where you do it, or anything else. And they were just, it was almost, not quite, but it was almost like they would go, so tell me, Chris, so what are you selling? You know, can I buy some, please? And you just, how do you do that? It, unbelievable.
Yeah, and if you can bottle that up and then turn that out into other people, then it's fantastic. That's what we try and do.
What I like to do is, you know, we get these awful cold calls coming through at all times of day and night. I turn it round and sell to them.
Oh, yeah. I've done that a few
times. Which I really
now.
Like. Yeah. I go, have you heard of Channel Radio or, you know, Business Bunker?
People
or...
calling you late at night. Oh, really? How annoying would that be? I mean, how annoying would it be, James, to get a phone call at 4 o'clock on a Saturday morning, Sunday morning from someone, how should we put this, completely off their trolley in a nightclub. In, where were you?
I was in probably Mariah.
Mariah in Spain.
It was a very legitimate question.
Hello, Paul. I'm in the bar and we're doing karaoke and I don't know what to sing. What should I sing next?
But you gave me some annoying, very good suggestions.
Yeah. And the second word was off.
And then he rolled over.
Yeah. So it's about attitude, and you're absolutely right. And I want to explore a little bit now about what you were saying about this management by statistics or templates or spreadsheets, which is something that personally I detest and always have detested. From that point of view, if you're in a sales management role or a company ownership role or whatever, how do you suggest that you manage salespeople?
Yeah, I mean, the starting point is, I don't think a lot of organizations have much of a strategy behind their sales their activity and what they're doing in the first place. So, you know, we run a training course, for example, where the first day of the training course is looking about taking a blank canvas and saying, let's understand your markets properly, let's understand your products properly, let's understand your client base properly, and how can we create more efficiency out of that? And then on the back of that, the KPIs, the key result areas, the growth engines, whatever you want to call it, are the key areas that come from that, and that's what managers and leaders should be sort of focusing on more than anything else. So it's going back to the outputs more than anything else. But you know, there's a, you know, I do a lot of work with recruitment organizations, I know you do as well. So you know, when salespeople in recruitment, for example, come into a business, there's this big sort of push now by leaders saying, well, actually, no, we want to treat people like grown-ups, and you know, your desk is like a business, and just crack on, and we'll just measure you on the outcomes. And at that stage, that's when they need the help, the sort of hands being held, and they need those KPIs. And once they learn the craft of selling and the sort of required levels of activity that are needed to be done as minimum standards to get to where you need to get to, then we take a step back and say, right, now I'm just going to focus on your conversion ratios, and I'm just going to focus on your outputs. And providing they're there, I'm going to ignore what you do, apart from help you from a strategy point of view. But when they're not there, we'll go back into the KPIs and look at them as a way of testing, is what you're doing the right approach, and is there a better way of doing it? Because if you tweak a KPI or a conversion ratio by a percentage, it has a significant impact on the output. So I think sometimes sales leaders should be focused on a little bit more, being more strategic rather than just doing a numbers game.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. And it's kind of common sense when you think about it, really, eventually, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
But you're right. You know, so many people don't go into it with that kind of common sense approach to it. I don't know.
The other thing as well, I think a lot of people lose all this, and I think this is the same for business as much as for sales, is it's just a game. It's just a bit of fun. I think some people get so hung up and stressed about business and about sales. And when they do that, they start losing sight of why they're actually doing it in the first place. So I think sales, business, is just one big game, like a game of chess, and that's a classic analogy. And if you have fun with it and really play with the game, then it's brilliant. It's absolutely, it's great fun. So
I really, really do agree with you on that. And also from the other point of view, though, if you get too stressy, if you get too desperate about selling, it comes across, and people go, "Well, you're a bit desperate. What's the problem here? Why are you so desperate? Is nobody buying your product? Do you know what? I don't
think
I will."
The phone goes down at the end of the conversation as well, quite hastily. Hello, hello.
So you're absolutely right. I love that laid back approach that, you know, you haven't got to make a sale every time you pick up the phone. You haven't got to make a sale every time you walk into someone's office. You haven't got to make a sale every time you send them a tweet or a Facebook post or anything. Absolutely. Mm. From your point of view, have you seen a major change in the sales process brought about by technology?
Yeah, huge amounts. If you think of the old days, I'm not talking about the old days, maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago, we used to separate sales and marketing. They were two separate functions. One sat in one corner of the room, and the other sat in the other corner of the room. Marketing now is probably 3/4 of the sales process. So social media in particular is fantastic. Again, a lot of people use social media as a platform to sell, when actually it's not. It's a platform to share best practice, demonstrate your own authority, give away value and that type of
stuff.
Build relationships. Yeah. So, but therein lies another challenge, because then you've got salespeople sitting on social media, which is all quite silent, and you've got the manager walking around going, "Why is my office silent? Why can't I hear people on the telephones?" Where actually they're still selling, which is fine, as long as you can measure those outputs. So I think that's changed significantly, and I think when people embrace that more and get used to it better, then they really get it. But a lot of people don't know how to use social media properly. You know, they really don't get it, and it's just a platform to be able to sell.
Yeah.
And if you happen to have an extra 10 Twitter followers today, then you must be doing really well, right? Which is sort of, no, not really, no.
Yeah, sure. James, it's a subject we can talk about a lot. Sadly, we're running out of time, but luckily people can hear a lot more from you, because you're going to be doing one of the keynote talks at an up-and-coming show, aren't you, which is the East Kent Business to Business Show, which is taking place on the 1st of November at the Lees Cliff Hall in Folkestone, I believe.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And you're going to be speaking at that.
Yep, I'm really looking forward to that, actually, yeah. So I don't know I'm not sure how long I've got on stage. I like to be on stage as long as I can.
Oh, a few days.
Yeah, a few days, which will be fine. So we're going to look at things like, you know, what are the key drivers of performance in any business? How can you create better efficiency in what people are doing? I'm going to explain a couple of the hidden sales channels that a lot of people don't realise exist, and how they can get more out of that. Look a bit about account penetration, et cetera. So we'll have a bit of fun. But the focus, I'm going to try and make it quite motivational. I want people to get excited about this, enjoy what they're doing, rather than to think it's a dirge and a challenge.
Fantastic. Really looking forward to that. I'm going to be coming along to listen to you.
Great.
Because I really want to do that. If people want to find out more about you and Innergy, how can they do that?
Yeah, so best place to go to our website, which is innergy.co.uk, innergy.co.uk. We're also just launching the Kent Business Hub. So we have a website called thekentbusinesshub.com, which is a club for leaders of businesses, which we're launching that currently in partnership with the Invicta Chamber of Commerce as well. So one of those two websites, a lot of information on there. And at any stage, stage, anyone wants to give me a call and have a chat about their business, we do a free business health check where we'll come and just sort of analyse the business for you online through a tool that we've got, and it will tell you how well you're doing and maybe where some holes that you might want to improve.
Fantastic. Just on the Kent Business Hub,
yeah.
Can you give us a little bit of more, is that like a masterminding type arrangement?
Type of thing. So we're looking for 100 business leaders in Kent.
Right.
They're going to get together on a quarterly basis, culminates with a two-day retreat. We're going to go away and do some crazy stuff. And in between that, there's lots of advisory support, coaching, a lot of free training they're going to get for their staff, and a whole host of different things.
That
as well.
Sounds
real
amazing.
Value add thing.
Yeah,
it's going to be really cool, actually. It's something that we've done before in a different part of the UK. So we're bringing it down to Kent now. Really excited about it. We've just launched the website now. The first session starts in January,
right.
But we're trying to get the members coming and joining us now type of stuff, and they get a load of assessments and tools that are going to go with that.
So when you say a retreat as well, what will be happening on that retreat?
A lot of Dutch people, a lot of meditation.
Diving?
Eucalyptus oil. You can bath in eucalyptus oil, yeah.
Yeah, well, again, you know, I mean, I live down in Kent, so we're going to really utilise what's on offer in Kent. I'm a big fan of Kent. And so as much as we're going to have some really quite heavyweight guest speakers and some really interesting people coming along, we've got some interesting advisors as well, we're going to do some quite crazy stuff which is around personal development as well, so really sort of push people's boundaries a little bit from that point of view. Big gala dinner in the middle of it and a few other bits besides. It's going to be very, very intense. So if you don't have the stamina, then you won't make it, put it that way. But we're going to have a lot of fun with it again. And a part of why we call our business Energy is about having mental, emotional and physical energies. Mm. And we're going to really try and bring that to the forefront of the retreat in particular. So.
Fantastic. So you can hear James at the East Kent B2B. Mm-hmm. And also speaking on that platform after James is Professor Richard Scase, and Richard is the Emeritus Professor at the University of Kent, and Richard's going to be speaking about grabbing the future, global and local business opportunities.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a great day, so do get along. If you want to book your place, you can actually do that via the Kent Business Radio website. If you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and you go /B2B-East Kent, you can find out all about that event, and you can also book your tickets there. So do check that out. For the moment, James, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Punk Show. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
Cool. We're kind of fast running out of time. I've got a couple of tweets, and then we need to do the FSB News Roundup. Grain Store Studios say, Vanilla Web, hi, we'd love a shout out for our pottery team building days with Laura Brown 73. And they've sent me a rather nice picture of somebody on a potter's wheel, which is something I've never been able to cope with. Have you ever done any pottery?
I have actually, yeah, once, and I found it very, very relaxing. Mm. I'd like to say I'm periscoping live, and I'd like to say Whitstable Stove Shop is finding our show very amusing. He said he enjoyed the Rolf Harris and the dustbin joke.
No, he didn't.
He did.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Mark Smith, you can stop encouraging her.
And a shout out to Drew Peacock, says one of our Periscope listeners. And if you wave Birdie, they'll see Birdie.
Oh, right. Okay.
There's Birdie as well.
You don't want me to wave.
No.
You want Sarah to wave.
Well,
okay.
You can wave as well.
All right. Do you know what we're going to do next?
FSB.
Channel Radio News Update.
It's that time in the show when we bring you a roundup of news from the Federation of Small Business. Failings have been found in the legal services market, and the FSB has welcomed a Competition and Markets Authority report, which came out last week, which identified problems with competition in the legal services market for small businesses. The interim report backs the FSB's calls to improve transparency in the market. The CMA will now look at ways to improve competition in legal services by increasing information on price and quality for consumers. The FSB will ensure it continues to be part of the review process going forward so that the legal services market works better for small businesses. Amen to that.
Small businesses in the UK are estimated to be owed £26.8 billion by larger firms who are not paying them for goods and services on time. For more than 10 years, FSB has been campaigning on this issue and highlighting the impact of late payments. However, it needs fresh evidence from members in order to communicate the problem to politicians and journalists and civil servants. We'd like, they say they'd like to understand that what impact late payment is having on your business today so that they can continue to lobby for appropriate solutions. So could you contact, if you have a suggestion for this, Claire at FSB, that's F for sugar, sorry, F for Freddie, S for sugar, B, bigvoice.co.uk, including any information on any other businesses that you might name, that, and it's all confidential, they say.
Cool. There's a new insurance act which is coming into force on the 12th of August this year. And some of the main points may be of interest to you. Disclosure. The insured now have a duty of fair representation to the insurer. This duty includes disclosure without misrepresentation of every material circumstance that the insurer knows or ought to know, or giving enough information to the insurer to put them on notice to make further inquiries. What they're saying is you can't hold back any information you know that may cause the insurer to up your premiums, basically. And corporate senior management are also to disclose all relevant information that is known to them. The new act describes senior management as those individuals who play a significant role in the making of decisions about how the insured's activities are to be managed and organised.
Automatic. I've got lots of chicken crackling in my throat.
Well, that'll learn you, won't it?
Automatic enrolment. Complete your declaration of compliance on time. Even if you have no staff eligible for automatic enrolment, it's important that you complete a declaration of a compliance and submit it to the pensions regulator. And you need to do this within 5 months of your staging date. And they say that the latest figures show automatic enrolment compliances. The rates remain very high, but the regulator did issue more than 4,000 notices or fines to businesses during the previous quarter. You can find out more on autoenroll.t4tiger, p4peter, r4roger.gov.uk.
Fantastic. Negative interest rates. The FSB have gained a lot of media coverage this week following the warning from the Royal Bank of Scotland and NatWest that business customers may be charged for depositing their money if interest rates are cut further by the Bank of England. Here's a hint, they won't be. FSB said the news would be deeply concerning to small firms when small business confidence is already at a four-year low. The FSB called on the Monetary Policy Committee to do everything possible to consider the implications of charging interest rates for small firms. If you're considering whether it's worth switching to a more competitive business current account, there is a resource available where you can compare, and that is www.businessbankinginsight.co.uk, and there you could compare the various rates that you can get for your deposited cash.
Small Business Minister has announced FSB has welcomed the appointment of Margot James, the MP, as the new Minister for Small Businesses, Consumer Protection and Corporate Social Responsibility. We've worked with Miss James in the past, they say, both at a local and national level, and she's hosted the summer reception in 2015. In a comment for The Guardian, FSB National Chairman Mike Cherry said, "We greatly value Miss James's support for small businesses, as she herself was a successful entrepreneur before moving into politics and is able to relate to the challenges our members face. And her first priority in her ministerial in tray must be to establish a small business commissioner to tackle late payments and to work with the Treasury on how to boost economic growth."
Paul. Fantastic. Thank you. There's a record job market strength. The latest UK job figures show unemployment below 5% for the first time in a decade. It's actually at 4.9%. That's now the second lowest in Europe. The number of unemployed dropped to 1.65 million. That's down 54,000 from the previous period. And the unemployment rate is now at a historically low level. And the employment rate is at an all-time high of 32 million people in employment.
That's brilliant news.
Yeah.
Looking to hire, the Department for Work and Pensions has published a new employer info pack as part of its See Potential campaign. It's designed to signpost employers towards organisations that can help them hire more people from disadvantaged backgrounds. The FSB supports the campaign as an important way of breaking down any and all barriers, preventing employers finding the right people for their business. You can go to, well, it will all be on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
It will indeed. Today, Tuesday, the government cyber streetwise campaign has launched quick updates to encourage the general public to download the latest software updates as soon as they are available. Software updates contain vital security upgrades which protect devices from viruses and hackers. Advice from the government's GCHQ cyber security arm, the CESG, outlines that software updates are one of the most effective measures you can take to protect yourself online, and they now have a website where you can find out all about it, which is cyberstreetwise.com.
Funding for low-carbon vehicle technologies, and might be one for Jamie, around £25 million of competitive pounds of competitive funding in innovative low-carbon automotive projects has been announced by Innovate UK and the Department for Business. The funding will be delivered through the Advanced Propulsion Centre, which was set up in 2013 to facilitate access to funding for producers of low-carbon propulsion systems and help them to bring their ideas to market. The competition is open to collaborative development projects which have at least one smaller firm as a partner, last from 18 to 42 months and have total eligible costs ranging from £5 million to £40 million. And there is a deadline, they say, for registration. It's the 14th of September 2016. And for applications, it's the 21st of September 2016. And again, you'll find details of that on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Fantastic. The government has announced a new post-16 skills plan, which seeks to address a long-standing need to streamline and reorganise technical and vocational education. The plan will cut over 20,000 courses from 160 providers and replace them with just 15 straightforward routes into technical employment. Ministers are hoping the plan will create a more skilled workforce fit for modern Britain. The Federation of Small Business welcomes the plan, supporting the idea of a clear and equal pathway for young people into more vocational occupations. And just on that, I happen to be talking to Kent County Council at the moment about their new scheme, which is called Guilds, and they're producing a young person's passport, which I'm very excited about. I think it's going to be very useful. And as I find out more about it, I will tell you all about it on the Business Bunker show in the future.
That sounds interesting. Do you know anything about it yet or not?
No,
yet?
Not at the moment. It's a very new thing.
Hush, hush.
But no, it's not hush, hush. It's still in the rollout stage. Basically, it's to replace a CV. It's a bit like a TripAdvisor. As a young person, if you do work experience or an internship or anything like that, what you do is you get a testimonial, but in a particular format. Mm. So you have a passport and the person that you work for has to kind of mark you and report you. And that becomes like your CV, because you can take it from employer to employer and this is what I did at the last place. This is what they said. I'm going to work for you or get some work experience with you. And now you're going to fill this in for me as well. And it isn't just a "you did very well, young man" type of thing. It's "must improve at this, did very well at that," you know.
Real evaluation.
Yeah, so it's a really useful tool that will eventually probably replace the CV.
We have no clock. Have I got time to read one more?
Yep.
It's my last one. Mm-hmm. FSB, so this is the destination export, and the FSB has published a new report exploring the way small businesses interact with the global export market. And the report has revealed a huge potential to double the number of small business exporters. It showed the EU is the dominant export destination for small businesses, but there are signs new entrants to the export market are attracting a more diverse range of destinations. So the FSB has launched its report at the prestigious Admiralty House in Whitehall in London, with Lord Price, CVO, as keynote speaker. And the Minister of State for International Trade has pledged to do all he could to help small business trade with the rest of the world. Interesting that, because China is really hotting up, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
As a trader.
Absolutely. That brings us to the end.
Lovely.
Channel Radio News Update.
So that's the news update from the FSB for another week. I've had a tweet here, Jules, that's got you nailed to rights, I'm afraid.
Oh, dear, what have I done wrong now?
Yeah, you know, you accused Whitstable Stove Shop of liking your jokes.
Yeah.
They've tweeted.
And said they don't like my jokes.
They said, Paul, you can tell when she's winding you up. Her lips move.
Right, I'm going to go in and see him and get my barbecue things later. He's got some gorgeous stuff in that shop.
And Cascade Insurance, Cascade Julie, has tweeted about that last thing that we mentioned about insurance disclosure. And she says, thanks for mentioning the new Insurance Act. It's really important. And disclosure, businesses can use a broker to ensure that they comply with this fully. So good point. And you can follow Julie. Cascade Julie is her Twitter handle.
Yeah, and she's based in Ashford.
They're based in Ashford. They're an Ashford-based insurance broker. Yeah. They are indeed. I want to tell you about the new Ebbsfleet Garden City.
I'm very interested in that.
It's the first garden city in the UK for 50 years.
After Welwyn.
And it's coming to Kent, or what is currently Kent, but I think they are going to rename it London.
No.
Yeah, Dartford is due to become a London borough.
Is it?
Mm.
Gosh.
Did you not know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. It's politicians for you. We need more houses in London. I know, let's rename a couple of counties London. That'll do it.
They'll probably come as far as Whitstable, where I live.
Moi, cynical? No. Anyway, Ebbsfleet Garden City. The Ebbsfleet Development Corporation's vision is to deliver a vibrant city of up to 15,000 new homes and 32,000 new jobs, served by a range of sustainable facilities, amenities and activities. And Ebbsfleet Garden City is going to be strategically placed between Dartford and Gravesend around the Ebbsfleet International Railway Station. So far in 2016, the following progress has been made. Permission has been granted to David Wilson Homes for a new development of 154 homes in Castle Hill. Work has started on 470 homes by Countryside, Red Row and Charles Church, and discussions are underway for commercial development around the station area. Planning permission was granted for a new 420 pupil primary school in Castle Hill.
Now, will they have grammars there? Are they allowed?
No, it's Kent has grammar schools, but you are not allowed to establish a new grammar school, although
it can be attached to an annex.
Although Sevenoaks pulled a stunt and got an annex attached, but that went all the way to the High Court to get that through.
That's the only way you can do it, is have an annex.
But of course, a lot of the schools now are going to be academies anyway, so. So that's Ebbsfleet Garden City starting to take shape, and they're starting some of the early stage construction. As we speak.
Well, as I was going through on the train last week, and there's a lot of countryside actually as you go into London, you know, around Rochester, and that it's really beautiful.
Well,
and
that is one of the reasons why they picked Ebbsfleet, which is a place that never existed until they decided to call it Ebbsfleet. Because it's all marshland. It's marshland. It's been empty. There's literally nothing there.
Will they have to build houses on stilts? Because of the marsh.
No, I think they wear boots like anyone else.
Ka-ching.
Yeah.
No, but if it's marshy is what I'm saying.
Boggy.
Yeah. Is it? So will they have to have houses on stilts? What about floods?
No. Well, it's probably on a floodplain. They always build on floodplains these days.
Because too many people are concreting over their drives, aren't they? And that's causing a lot of problems where I live, certainly.
Absolutely. Anyway, we're fast approaching the end of the show, and I need to tell you what's coming up later today on Channel Radio.
Yes.
At 4 o'clock, we have the absolutely delightful and lovely Natalie Bonnec.
Bonjour. Mais oui.
Mademoiselle Bonnec.
Oui. And
she is going to be bringing you the Kent Creative Live Show, all about the arts and culture scene in this great county of Kent. So do stay tuned for that at 4 o'clock. And then at 5 o'clock, we have the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery.
In his stripy socks
with some more celebrity interviews. And that is closely followed at 7 p.m. by...
Welcome all to the new potato show.
18 tracks of new, unsigned, up-and-coming music on the New Potato Show, 7 till 9 tonight, presented by Mr. Jamie Andrews. And do check that out. There's some fabulous music on that show, all of it unheard of until now by most people, and it's absolutely unbelievable, some of the music that Jamie finds. And then, of course, straight after Jamie at 9 o'clock, we have our comedy music show, I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet, which focuses on the hilariously funny year of 1967. I don't know what was particularly funny about 1967. I don't remember it particularly well. I was only about...
It was the years of T-Rex, wasn't it?
I think it was a bit early, 67. I was 12. So, I don't know. I don't remember it as being particularly funny, but apparently it is. So that was I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet. And then, of course, that's from 9 till 10. And then we finish off the evening, as we always do, with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two, three. Paul Drumbeat at the squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
Brilliant show, that.
It is indeed. So do stay tuned to channelradio.co.uk for the rest of the evening with a great lineup of shows of all kinds of music and comedy and all kinds of stuff. But we're fairly much at the end of the show now, Jules.
We've still got time to eat a few plums and some original chicken crackling.
It's been quite a few weeks since Jules was last in, listener. And, of course, we've got this nice spanking new studio, and then all of a sudden we're back to having it filled with remnants of food and discarded bits of junk and bits of half-eaten fruit.
Kent is the garden of England, my love.
Yeah. Free-range, chocolate-covered chickens, the home of. Is this right?
Yes. I don't actually think chicken crackling is from Kent. I don't know where he's from. I need to investigate more. These came in my post. I get very odd things in my post.
Well, I could probably live with chicken crackling. What I can't live with chicken
chocolate.
With chicken crackling covered in chocolate. What is that like?
You need it. Well, Jamie has had some.
I can vouch it was nice. Yes,
yeah, he's had about four bits. Yeah. There is an email.
Yeah, but you've got a hold of him by the throat though, Jules, that's why.
The email is hello@chickencrackling.com. Find out.
It would be, wouldn't it?
I think it's very Mayfield Farmhouse. There you are.
Okay.
They're from Tamworth. Where's Tamworth? Gagarin, Lichfield Road, Tamworth. Where's Tamworth? Middlesex, is it?
No. Tamworth, Hertfordshire. Tamworth.
No, it's north of Tamworth.
Yeah, it's north of Hertfordshire. And Tamworth's in Shropshire.
Thank you for sending it to me. My little my postman worries about me with
my
all
little
the
chickie.
Food that gets sent to me.
So this is a regular occurrence for you?
Yes.
People send her food. Yeah. They're scared of her wasting away, you see.
And wine. I get a lot of wine sent.
Yeah. But she consumes that for breakfast.
I was going to say, where's that? Where's the wine?
Yeah, exactly. That never arrives, strangely, Jamie. I don't know why that is, but it never actually turns up. I get loads of tweets saying, I got a crate of Prosecco this morning. Yeah, really? And where is it? Oh, I drunk it. It was breakfast. Yeah.
But here are your plums.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, listen, I want to say a huge thank you to everybody that participated in today's show. The stunkingly gorgeous Jules Serkin. Lovely to have her back on the show. To today's show sponsors, the lovely folks at Fruitworks. To our two fabulous guests, Mr. Jamie Hill of Hill Shipping.
Thank you.
And James Osborne.
Thank you.
And as we said earlier, you can hear more from James by going to the East Kent B2B on the 1st of November at the Lee's Kiss Hall. Mm. Or you can follow them at his website, which is energy.co.uk. Energy.co.uk. We were joined in the studio, although I didn't give her a microphone.
Birdie.
By the lovely bird on a bike, Sarah Ann Lucas. And she's going to be launching a new show soon called The Conversation. And that's going to be going out on a Wednesday. So we will let you know about that when we're ready to do that. It's going to be loads of fun and we're really looking forward to it.
And you can find her on Facebook, can't we, Birdie?
Yeah.
Which is Bird on a Bike?
No, Sarah Ann Lucas.
Sarah Ann Lucas. Find her on Facebook.
So find her on Facebook. It's really worth following on Facebook. She does loads of fabulous videos every morning.
Mm.
So do follow that up. But that's the end of the show for another week. Thank you so much for joining us. And a big thank you to everybody that emailed, tweeted and joined in with the show as always. We will be back for another Business Bunker show next week. Have a good week, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Cheers.
Bye.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.